great day God has made. This is it. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day that God has made. And I rejoice. The word says, I rejoice and I am exceedingly glad in it. You know, if we could only show God to people, if we could only present God to people, if we could only prove the existence of God, then it seemed like the world would change, the world would be transformed, and incredible things would happen, and our nations would transform, our nations would change, and people would wake up and get saved. Wouldn't they? Yeah, they would. You're expecting me to say no, weren't you? Yeah, they would. Of course they would. Man, if you could just prove God, if you could just show here he is, and you know, a lot of people, even believers, want you to prove that God is still listening, and God is aware, and that God is really present, and that God is. And if we could do that as the body, as Christians, Christ-like, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, empowered, if we could only prove that, then we could radically change the world that we live in. That would be amazing, right? Sound a bit far-fetched to you? It's your call. It's your call. Your call. Jesus said, I'm going away in the form, in the atomic structure that you see me in today. You see me as a man. He said, in this form, I'm leaving this form. It's really important to understand what he was saying. He said, I am leaving this form. I am spirit from the Father. And I came in an atomic structure. We're all made up of atoms. Everything we see is made up of things that are unseen. Everything around us is made up of things unseen. And the Father said, I'm going to give atomic structure to my presence. I'm going to send him in the form. I'm going to send the Word, the Spirit of the Word, in the form of Jesus, my Son, the Messiah, Yeshua, the Redeemer, the foretold one. And the Word says, and the Word did that. The Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. The Word of God dwelt among us. And in this atomic structure that God had formed by the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God dwelt. So that's God's design. That's the way God did it. That's the way he made it. He made you out of invisible things. Atoms are invisible. You can't see them with the naked eye. Or we could actually, maybe more accurately, say they are unseen. God is called the unseen God. His reality is what formed and shaped all that we know as creation. Yet, to the naked eye, to our senses, he is unseen. And yet we have a mandate from God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And this was the mandate. Show them who I am. He said, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive power. And what that power is your ability to manifest me and prove that I exist. So what he said. You are to prove that I exist in the Spirit, and I am manifest through you, the body of Christ. So, what's the problem? Are people asking the wrong question when they say, show us God? Are they asking the wrong question? No, they're not. They're asking the right question. Jesus said, this is your commission. Your commission is once you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, how many believe you're filled with the Spirit of God? Then it is your commission to prove God's existence. Now, he's already given us proof in the atomic format in everything that we see. All matter is created from atoms. The scientists have finally figured that out. They finally found a way to see what all this is. And they did it because they could see what was. So you know what they wanted to see? What wasn't. They wanted to look at what they could not see. It reminds me of the scripture, seek the kingdom of God and you'll find it. And Jesus states that the kingdom of God isn't something that's seen in the same way that you would see a wall or a mountain or a cloud or the sea or a person. Jesus said, and you have to understand that my kingdom is not of this world. He said, if it were of this world, I would my angels would fight for it, and you'd never hang me on a tree. And I wouldn't hang myself or be hung on a tree. I wouldn't allow it to be done. But my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is of the Father. But he said, but this is what we want. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triad, the Trinity of God. We want to manifest that kingdom in this kingdom. We want to overcome the kingdom of the age with the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is far beyond the kingdom of the world. But if it fell on you, it would crush you. So you have to fall on him. And he said, the kingdom isn't coming, and we have to get this because it's vastly and vitally important so we can prove God exists with us. And it is our call. It has always been our call. So we have to understand again, Jesus said, what you're looking for is not what the kingdom looks like. It isn't what the kingdom is. Matthew 28:20 tells us what it is. What is it? It's righteousness and peace and joy in the embodiment of the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God's an exciting place. It's a righteous place. It's a peaceful place. It's a joyful place. A shalom place, a place of wholeness, a place of completeness. That's your assignment. That's your call. Maybe you don't feel like you're walking there because you weren't aware. I'm here to make you aware. Jesus said, seek it. What am I seeking? His righteousness. I'm not qualifying for it. I'm seeking it for it. And what else? His peace. I'm not qualifying for it. I'm looking for it. And joy. I'm not qualifying for it. I'm seeking for it. He said, seek it. Because when you find that, you found the kingdom. There's evidence. Righteousness. Peace. Joy. Through the Spirit that dwells in you. That's the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. And he said, pray that righteousness and peace and joy will control the earth, will reign and rule in the earth. Pray that righteousness, peace, and joy will take place in the earth just like it does in the Spirit, in the unseen, in the heavens, in the force, in the authority, in the power, in the might that creates all existence. God is so God that it would be impossible to see the God that really is God with your senses. He is beyond the nature of our idea of reality. He is beyond our perspective. Isn't that awesome? How many think the world, the earth, is a pretty amazing place? I think it's an incredible place. The Word says, look and see the wonder, the handiwork of God. He made all this. I think it's a pretty incredible place, and you should too. You should bless the earth. That's what God did after He made it. He blessed it, and you should too. You should bless it. It's a reality of God to believe that you are chosen to prove God exists. Elijah knew it. And Elijah acted like James 1, verse 2. He counted it all joy when his faith was tried. Now, Elijah felt like he was the only prophet around. Actually, someone had hid prophets in groups of 50, but Elijah wasn't aware of it, so he felt alone. And he could easily have felt, and maybe did at certain points in time, because the Word says he was able to be emotional, to feel just like we do. That's what the Word says. He felt just like you felt. He was a man. And there were about 450 prophets of Baal and another 400 prophets of Asherah. And they weren't worshiping God. Now, it's not that these people didn't know about God. It's that they had turned away from Him. And they started worshiping false gods. So Elijah said, I'm going to James 1, 2 it before it's ever even written down. He said, I'm going to count it all joy. And I'm going to show you. He counted all joy. Elijah said, hey, go tell the king that I'm here. The man said, I don't want to go tell him you're here because I know your nature. I'm going to tell him you're here. He's going to come and God's going to take you away someplace. And then he's going to kill me saying I lied to him. And Elijah said, no, you got to do this. You just tell him I'm here. He said, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to give my head up telling the king you're someplace that you're not going to be once we arrive. And Elijah said, as God lives, I'm telling you right now, make you a promise, I will be here. He said, so tell him to come. So the man went and told the king, he said, hey, Elijah's here. And the king's like, that troublemaking pain in my neck. I can't wait to get my hands around his throat. So I don't know if he said those words exactly, but I see him saying those words. You certainly hear it in the rest of his communication to him and about him. So when he meets him, he says, when the king meets Elijah, he says, you troublemaking individual, you. You're the ones that stirred up all of the nations. He said, no, you are the troublemaker because you've been worshiping false gods. I want to tell you something. The earth is blessed of God, and we should return to the blessing of the Lord. Your city and your town and your state has been blessed of God. Everything God made within the circumference of the earth, God blessed. And everything above the earth in the heavens, God blessed it. And God's blessing and decree cannot be renounced nor denied. It is an eternal blessing. So much so that even when man messes up, God still redeems it to his initial purpose and design. Because God's blessing is a yes, and in him, it's amen, meaning it isn't going to change. So you need to bless where you are. You need to bless this time. You need to bless this day. You need to bless the state that you're in. You need to bless the nations. And people are rising up prophetically, blessing their nation and gaining a courage that only the Holy Spirit can give to you. So Elijah says, this is what we're going to do. He said, I know about your 450 prophets of Baal, and I know about your 400 prophets of Asherah. He said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to Mount Carmel. I want you to bring them all up to the mountain. And he said, we're going to do something pretty amazing. Now, Elijah knew that if this didn't happen, his head, he's done. Okay, he's done. He's toast. So this was what is called in Elijah's day, we call it today the trying of our faith. The perception and the perspective of Elijah was a bit different, not saying what he did or didn't feel. He was subject to like passions like you are, you and I are. He could feel things like we feel things. And the Word makes that very clear. But his faith in who God was and his faith in who God was with him gave him courage because he knew right where God was. And so the Word says that Elijah goes up to the mountain. They all gather him, all the people, and all the prophets. So what is it, about 850 prophets, somewhere around there. I didn't count them personally, but there's a lot of them. And they're all opposed to him, and Elijah feels like he's the only guy because he says, I'm the only guy, I'm the only prophet. Nonetheless, he said, this is what we're going to do. You get to pick. You get first dibs. You pick the bull. You build the altar, you make a sacrifice, and whatever God, whoever answers by fire, that's the God we'll serve. If your God answers by fire, I'll serve your God. Can you imagine that? What a place to put yourself in. That's what he said. He committed, if your God answers by fire, I'll serve your God. Can you imagine Elijah being an idol worshiper? Worship false gods, but he said, I'll do it. He said, but whoever answers by fire, and if my God answers by fire, then we're going to serve him. The people said, sounds great. I want to see a fire show. So everybody was excited. So they, the king's false prophets, they cut up their bull and they lay it on their altar and they start crying in the morning and they cry to midday and they keep crying. And after a while, Elijah gets tired and he says, where is your God? That's what he said. He said, did he have to go to the bathroom? That's what he said. Or is he asleep? Or maybe he's on a journey. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? Where is your God? And after a while, they got really into their sacrifice. And the Word says they started cutting themselves until blood was gushing out of their body. And they cried and cried until they were fatigued and weak from the loss of blood and just tired from screaming all day. And they stopped. Elijah said, it's my turn. I love this because this is what Elijah did. He said, to prove that God is God with me. That's what this is all about. To prove God is right here with me. He said, it's my turn. So the Word said, he built the altar, assembled 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of the house of Israel. And he built the altar and he put the sacrifice, cut it up in pieces and put it on the altar. Did everything in order with the word of the Lord. And after the word that God had spoken, God revealing who his nation was. And what he was saying is this represents where God is. God is with his house. God is with his people. God is with you even though you have rejected him. God is here. And I want to tell you today, God is with the nations of the earth even though many have rejected him. He is almighty, omnipresent, holy, great, glorious, good God, and he is ever present. And Elijah, in summation, says, I'm going to prove to you that God exists. And the Word says that he took jars of oil, he dug a trench around the altar, he poured water, or had the men pour water on the sacrifice, kept pouring it until it finally ran off, said, let's keep pouring it. He got excited. He started James 1:2-ing it. He's like, man, I'm excited about this. Dump another one on there. Dump another one on there. The trench isn't full yet. Dump another one on there. Because God is going to prove he is with me. And then the Word says that he called on God and said, God, in short, show you are here through my sacrifice in faith in not only who you are, but where you are. And the word says that fire came down from heaven and it consumed the sacrifice and it consumed the wood and it consumed the stones and it licked up the water and the dust that was in the trench. And the people fell down and worshiped God. What did Elijah the prophet do? Mighty man of God. He proved God was with him. Although we don't do sacrifice that day, or that way, as they did that day, we are a sacrifice. Paul said, present yourself as Elijah presented himself, a living sacrifice upon the altars of God. Represent the body of Christ, and I will be God in you, and I will be God with you. But you see, the people that sacrificed to false gods, God was still with them. But he wouldn't bear witness to a lie. He wouldn't bear witness to the false prophecies of the false prophets. He wouldn't bear witness to the ignorant. Now, I'm not saying that everybody there was just intending to be evil. They were following the trend, much like we do today. But there was no power in their sacrifice. God did not make himself known in their sacrifice. Because God wants us to be single-minded as to who he is and where he is. And it's important. It is a continuity between who we are and the power of God that represents and demonstrates God is with us. Jesus said the reason for the Holy Spirit coming into you is to empower you, to awaken you, to let you know that I am God with you, and to make you a witness for who I am. The word says, as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Now I make you the light of the world. And light in a vacuum, just light in itself, if there isn't anything to reflect light, you cannot see it. No matter how brilliant it is, you can't see it. It's a phenomenon. It's an incredible miracle of God. Light exists, but you cannot see light. You may not even have known that. You can't see light. It's invisible. You can't see light with your eyes. You can only see its reflection on an object. That's how we know it's here. God is light, but he created light. Let's look at it like this. God created the earth, and he put the sun in position, and the earth that he created, the atomic structure that God created, the atoms that God created, he put it together and he said, you're going to be able to see my handiwork. You're going to be able to see my creation. God is calling you to be an object of his reflection. God has called you to be an object of his presence. God has called you to be an object of time and seasons. God has anointed you to be an object of the reflection that God exists in spirit, in truth, in power, and his reality is your existence, and your existence is his reality. And it's said like this, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ on the inside of you, that's where the hope of glory. Let's say it like this, how do we ever see glory? How are we going to know the glory of God? You are the reflection of his glory. That's why the earth still remains, or it would have been consumed by fire a long, long time ago. When Moses went up to the mountain and he saw the bush that was burning, and God spoke to him and he said, I'm sending you. And Moses said, me? I'm not me. And God said, yeah, you. And he said, how about Aaron? And the word says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Why? Because he wouldn't do what Elijah did. What did Elijah do? Elijah said, God is here with me in power. I can prove that God exists. I can prove God exists right here and now. Look at me. I'm here. All things were created by him, for him, and through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I am proof. You are proof. This place is proof. Go outside and look at the sun. Not very long. It's proof. That's what God said. There's proof all around you. Prove that God exists. Only a fool, the word says, Some mindless individual would look up and say, there is no God. So proof exists. Relationship is what is lacking. Revelation into Jesus Christ and who He is. Matthew 28:20, Jesus is commissioning the disciples after He's raised from the dead, and He's commissioning them. Can you imagine? Here's a risen Savior, re-embodied, the Spirit of God, re-embodied into the body of Christ again for a second time. He dies. His Spirit goes into the heart of the earth. He leads the captive captive. His Spirit enters his body. Life comes back into it. There He is again, fulfilling the covenant, the commission of God. Now He's doing the same thing. He's commissioning the disciples. He's saying, you're going to leave this body. You're going to die to yourself, and you're going to be born in Me. And you're going to go up to the upper room, and you're going to be endowed with power from on high, and you're going to prove I exist. Did you realize that's your call? We are to prove the existence of God. So Jesus is commissioning the disciples, and this is what He says. He tells them, go throughout the world, preach the gospel. As you've seen Me do, you do. You are empowered with the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Just like God did in the Genesis of time when He breathed into Adam and the Ruach of God made him a living soul. How incredible is that? And He said something incredible. He says, behold, the literal translation is, I know in Myself that I Myself ago, I Myself will be with you always. I Myself, it's what the word literal Greek word means, ago. I Myself, I'm not leaving. I'm leaving this atomic sphere, but I'm entering you by the Holy Spirit. I'm not going anywhere. The breakdown, the study, the looking deep, seeking the kingdom. Jesus is saying emphatically, I know in Myself, I Myself in present and person am not going anywhere. I am with you all the time. That always in Greek means every single day. Every single day. Jeremiah 29. The children of Israel have been sent into exile, sent into Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar comes and he takes them all. It's prophetic. God said it was going to happen. Takes them all, and they're sent there. The false prophets say this. We're getting out of here really soon. Sound familiar? We're getting out of here really soon. God said to the people through the letter Jeremiah wrote to the remaining exiles, the elders, the prophets, and all the people. This is what he wrote. Those false prophets that keep telling you that you're getting out of here are liars. I did not send them. I did not tell them to say what they are saying. In fact, you're going to remain there for 70 more years. This is what I want you to do, God said. Thus says the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 29, read it. He says, go into the city, plant vineyards, go into the city, marry sons, marry daughters, daughters, marry sons, it's the only way it should be, and have children, and build houses, do business, and pray for the welfare of the city. Bless the city. Pray for its welfare. Speak well of it. Because your welfare, same word as peace, shalom. Your well-being, your completeness, your blessing, your favor. Pray for welfare because your welfare is in your prayer for their welfare. Bless where you are. Bless where God has placed you. Bless it. Pray for welfare because your welfare is in their welfare. I've said it like this for years. Your destiny, your purpose is locked up inside of someone else. So open that to them. Reveal who Christ in you is, that hope of glory. And who is God? Love. Prove God. Prove love. Righteousness. Walk righteously, not of your own volition, not of your own power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Believe. What did Elijah do? He believed. He believed. And he put himself on the line. Moses said, not me. God wasn't happy with Moses. Moses almost died on the journey. God came to kill him. His wife circumcised his son, made an offering before God in obedience. God spared his life. Why? He said, God isn't with me, maybe with Aaron. Where is God? I believe in the appearance of Jesus Christ. I don't believe he ever left me. I believe he's with me. I believe he's with you always, just like he said. And he will appear in many glories. And he wants to appear through you. He wants to make himself known through you. When the angel stood outside staring up, waiting for him to come back, he said, what are you doing? Go do what I called you to do. Go build houses, plant gardens, have babies, get married. Married first. And pray for the welfare of this city, of this nation. Pray for the welfare of California. If you're a Californian, pray for the welfare of your nation because your welfare is in your prayer for its welfare. You're taking dominion. You're proving the existence of God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't believe Jesus ever left because he's the truth and he can't lie and he said, I'll never leave you. Ego, I myself am with you. God created you in his likeness and in his image because he wants to prove his existence in an atomic structure. In every format, he has dominion over all the spiritual realms. That's what the word says. He wants his kingdom be manifest in our world. The final frontier, the kingdom of God, manifest in earthen vessels, the word says. New skins, died to the old, was resurrected in the new. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. When are we going to take serious what God has said? When are you going to see that God is with you? How many wonders does he have to do? Did he save you? That's all you need. Now bear witness to that transformed life. Jesus, one time, he's in the boat with the disciples, and he says to them, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. So I say to you, beware of the leaven of religion. Beware of the leaven of false doctrine. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Read the word of God. Study it. Seek the kingdom of God. Know what you're talking about and not just what you've heard. Seek him for yourself. Jesus is in the boat and he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the disciples said, oh, he's upset because we didn't bring bread. We only brought one loaf. And Jesus, the word says, he said, why are you discussing among yourselves that you don't have enough bread, that you didn't bring any bread? What is wrong with you? What does it matter? Do you know who I am? Do you know where I am? He said, your heart is hardened. Now, they're in a boat. They're talking about a loaf of bread. Jesus said, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. I'm telling you, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. It will eat your lunch. And he says, you have eyes, but you're blind. You have ears, but you're deaf. Your heart is hard. He said, let's reminisce for a minute. Do you remember when there were 5,000 people and we had just a few loaves? Do you remember what happened? He said, how many of those few loaves did you take up after feeding 5,000? And they said, I think 12 baskets. I said, yeah. Now, what about the 4,000 with a few little loaves? How many baskets did you take up then? I think we had 7 loaves. I think we took up 7 baskets of what was left over. Remember, lo, I'm with you always. You need to remember who's with you, because if you do, you'll always have more than enough. God chose Moses. God is choosing you. God is you're the one. You're the one. You're the one God's going to use. You're the one. God didn't want Moses waiting for Aaron to come up. God didn't want Abraham to wait. He said, Abraham, this is what you're going to do. Abraham said, I'll go. He called out to his people and he said, how long do I have to call you? He said, I would have covered you as a hen covers a brood, but you wouldn't come. You didn't believe I was here. Gideon, I'm going to give you a great victory. Gideon said, not me. I mean, not me. I'm the least of the least in my house. God said, I'm calling you. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. You're the one I'm calling. Jerry, don't faint. The Lord knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows what you think you don't have. But in what looks like little, God will do exactly as he's done. Don't be faint-hearted. Be encouraged in the Lord. God knows what you feel. He knows what you think. He knows what you have need of. Consider the lilies of the valleys. They don't toil. They don't spin. They don't do anything. Yet your heavenly Father, he clothes them. And beyond what Solomon is, God will provide for you, as he has said in his word, that even Solomon in all his glory won't be able to compare with what God does through those that believe that he is present with you. He's leading you in exactly what he wants you to do right now. Sending you, Gideon. Gideon says, I need to do a couple fleeces, if you don't mind, Lord. I'm going to put some lamb's wool out on the grass and do this for me. Make it wet all around it and let it be dry. So he gets up the next morning, wet all around it, and it's dry. Okay, just one more. You hard-hearted, hard-headed bunch of non-believers. You claim you believe, but what you're asking God to do is prove to you that he exists. What God is saying, I want you to prove that I exist. Yes, yes, yes. It's never what you lack that is the issue. It's in whom you believe that's the answer. It's not about what you have or what you don't have. In whom do you believe? 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 I believe, God, your way is perfect. You are the first and the last, the beginning, the end, the everlasting one, you ever present. You said to me, I go. I'm never going to leave you. I myself, the literal translation, I myself am with you. Every day in person and personality by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I and my Father, we are one. See, God can manifest himself anyway. He can burn on a hill. He did that. He burned on a fiery mountain. He did that. Moses was terrified. Can you imagine? You think about a little fire on the mountain. No, the mountain was a blaze of fire. The mountain was a blaze of fire. And Moses had to walk up into the presence of the Lord. If you will, he was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in it. He walked into a flame of fire. A mountain top was on fire. The people down below could see it. Can you imagine walking into a forest fire? Well, that's exactly what Moses did. He walked into a fire, and when he left the mountain, it was still blazing, the word says. He had the confidence. I'm going to go, whether I live or whether I die, I do it as unto the Lord. I seem to remember someone else saying that. It's the presence and the power of God and where it is. Where do you see God today? Not in the absence, not in an abstract way. Where do you see God? He is here. He is present with me in spirit, truth, and power. It is your faith. What was the difference? What differentiated the woman that had the issue of blood, that she, everybody else, they're pawing Jesus. They've got his hands all over him. They're grabbing him, tugging on him, pulling on him, screaming in his face, Jesus, Jesus. And the word says they weren't being healed. And here's a lady. She according to the law, she shouldn't be doing what she's doing. Jesus said, I am the new law. I am the new covenant. What was it? She said, you're here and I'm here and that's all that matters. And the word said she touched the hem of his garment, and we see a phenomenon we just don't see until she does that. And then it becomes the trend. She touches the hem of his garment and virtue flows from his body. The word says that after, people started touching his clothes and they were healed. Someone had to believe it could be done. Someone has to believe the kingdom of God is here in vibrant, brilliant color. In authority, power, wisdom, truth, life, joy, peace. You should be the happiest people on the planet. And if you were, there'd be a lot more shouting going on in the house. Peter walks on the water. You're afraid you're going to sink, aren't you? You're afraid that if you step out there, you're going to sink. Because the trials might be too tough, too challenging. Your faith is only revealed when you are in a place that you can't do it on your own, and your faith is called upon to believe God to do it. That's the only time you see him. And you run from it. You rebuke it. You want a rescue. What you need is a revelation and a relationship. You don't need a rescue. You've already had that. We need a relationship with the Father. I'm excited about the altar. I'm excited about the 450 and 400 that are against to stand there and say, look, we represent the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and we're not waiting for him to rescue us. We are standing in relationship with him. I don't need a rescue. I need a relationship. And God will do what God is going to do. Go be busy about the Father's business. Jeremiah 29, go and build and have children and marriage and come into unity and bless the nation that you're in instead of complaining about the politics and the policies and the problems and the taxes. And start blessing. God will bless you. Who cares what it costs if you have more than enough? That's what Jesus said in the boat. Who cares what you don't have? Who cares how many of us there is? You're hard-hearted, you're blind, and you're deaf. You don't know who I am, no matter what I do for you. It's our turn. It's your turn. God isn't sending someone in your place. You're the person in the place. God isn't sending someone to rescue you. He's sending you to have a relationship with him. Jesus said, I'm commissioning you. Go into the world. I'm going to be with you the whole trip, the entire journey from beginning to end. I'm with you always. I'm never going anywhere. I'm never going to leave you. But I want to dwell in you. See, here's the power of the object. God can manifest himself in a bush, on a mountain. He could appear here in vibrant color. He can do any of that. God can do all things. But the point is, an object can't have a relationship if it doesn't have a spirit with the Spirit of God. Amen. And that's why God gave you a spirit, and that's why God gave you a will. He doesn't want you to just gawk at him in wonder. He wants you to live in him in glory. Are you afraid you're going to sink? Don't be afraid you're going to sink. See, it's not the storm. It's not the trial. James says, I found something out. I have a revelation. I find God. When I'm looking for God, I look for a trial. I look for the trying of my faith. If I don't have one, I'll do what Elijah did. I'll create one. I'll do what Daniel did. I'll create one. I'll do what David did when he faced Goliath. I'll create an opportunity for my faith. That's called taking dominion. God said, Adam, take dominion out over all the earth. How did he do that? How was Adam to do that? God said, go name the animals. I don't know what they are. I know. Go name them, because I told you to. Go in faith. And when you do what I've called you to do, you'll know everything you need to know. You'll have everything you need to have. God's call is to faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's not the storm that takes you down. It wasn't the storm that caused Peter to sink. He saw the storm. He walked over the water to Jesus, the scripture says. It wasn't what he looked at that caused him to sink. It was who he looked away from. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for this great day, O God, you have made. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, your glory. In the heart of it all, you are there. In the midst of it all, you are there. In the storm of it all, you are there. Why the trials? Why the trying times? We're walking in our call. We get to prove you are God with us. We get to bear witness. You told us, go into all the world and baptize them in your presence. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So here we are. Thank you, Father, for the opportunities of faith that afford us the relationship of your presence and your power. We worship you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. Jesus. Jesus. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? What you gonna say? Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the everlasting one. He is the eternal God. He is the eternal King. The trying of your faith is like a jet. Some people won't go very far because they're afraid to climb aboard. But the ones that do can travel vast distances in a very short amount of time. Don't let your fear keep you from boarding the jet. I know some people, you may know some people that just don't ever really go any place outside of their comfort zone. They just don't leave the sphere of their known influence. They're just where they're comfortable because they're afraid. There's a prevailing, permeating fear that looms over the people today, much to the dismay of the propaganda of ministry that distances us from God. But the reality is he's right here, right now, and I know that. And he's as present now as he will ever be, because he doesn't change. He is who he is at all times. And that's what he told Moses when he said, go to Pharaoh and tell them, I am. I am. I've always been. I don't change. I'm the same. Not only that I am, not only my being is the same, but my presence is the same. Talk to God like He's right there, because He is. Act on God. Be extreme in your faith. Be extreme in your actions. Be extreme in your motions and your movements. Be extreme in God. Let's pull on heaven right now. Come on. If you have your wristband, grab it. If you don't, grab your wrist. It's right here. If you don't, just grab your wrist. We're going to take a hold of something today. We're going to do what we're commanded to do. He said, from the earth, He said, I want you to release what's in the heavens. Do you remember that scripture? Come on. You're blind because you've never taken the opportunity to just go all out. There's no middle ground. God says, I wish you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. He said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. There's no lukewarmness in God. You wind up in more trouble than you could imagine and more than you can handle. And you'll end up going right where you should have went in the first place. Jesus, you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. Father, we pull upon the heavens of God. We release from heaven the glory of the Lord. We release from heaven your presence, your spirit, your power. We know you're here, but we release the activity of your presence. I challenge this body and everyone viewing today, take an extreme step of faith in the direction you know God has been telling you to go. Be bold to say, God has told me, I'm doing as God has said. I'm going up to the mountain and I'm going to worship God. God's going to prove that He is God with me in spirit, truth, and power. And nonetheless, I'm going. As Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, God, I know you're with us and I know you will deliver us. Nonetheless, we're going there anyway. We're taking the opportunity to stand in your presence and prove that you are God with us. This is that day. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. God is your healer. God is your provider. God is your light. God is your life. God is your righteousness. God is your joy. God is your peace. And it's all in the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. May God fill you today, right here, right now, with the Spirit of Himself in fullness and in power. In Jesus' name. The Lord open your eyes and the Lord open your mouth. Just like He told them in the boat when He was with them. Don't you know I'm here? Don't you remember how I called you, how I saved you, how I forgave you, how I changed you, how I anointed you, how I've witnessed for you? Don't you remember the loaves of bread? You didn't have enough. You didn't know where to go. You didn't know what to do. And I'm here with you. Will you just believe? Will you just believe? Will you just believe? Echo, I am here with you. I'm not going anywhere. You can't have a relationship with someone you don't believe is with you. Long-distance relationships are weak. They lack the intimacy. They lack the common union. They lack the activity one-on-one. God wants to activate in you. He wants to have a union with you. You don't need an exodus. You need an entrance. He said, seek to enter into the kingdom of God. So we do right here, right now. Jesus, you are the all-time. You're all the ever-present. We enter into your glory, God. And then as you will, God, be revealed in every way, shape, and form that you desire, God, you will do exactly as you have said you would do. We are commissioned to bear witness to Jesus Christ in love, in consistency. So we pull upon the heavens of God for consistent faith, consistent love, consistent kindness. Stop waiting for time. It's holding you back. Stop waiting for someone to do it. It's holding you back. You're the time. You're the timepiece. You're the era. You're the clock. You're the season. You're the chosen one. Act on it. What made David the chosen one? That he stepped up brushed shoulders with his brothers and said, I'm stepping up to the plate. It's me God is with. And you should believe the same too. But as for me and my house, we know your God with us. Goliath, today you're going to fall. And God will be glorified, for the Lord is with me. This is our call. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Open the ears of the deaf and the eyes of the blind. And quicken the hearts of the weak and faint-hearted to believe you are God with us. This is the season of Christ with us. This Christmas is God's. This season is God's. This year is the Lord's. And God is with us in it all. To God be the glory, the honor, and the praise now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, everybody shout, come on. You'll lose nothing that will not be restored 30, 60, 100 in this life. There isn't anything that's left you. It's all been seed in the ground, and it will introduce itself to you again 30, 60, 100 fold. Can you believe 10 times? Can you at least start there? It's not about what you have or what you don't have. It's about in whom you believe. See, Elijah believed strong enough that the people believed in the faith he had in the God that was with him. So we should do. God, we glorify you. Father, we praise and worship you. You have it today. I'm prophesying to you right here, right now. You have to make this the moment of your life and say, this is the time. This is when everything turns around. This is my turning point. This is my opportunity. This is my open door. This is my pivotal moment in time. I say of the Lord, as David said, as Elijah said, as Gideon finally said, as Daniel said, today, the Lord is with me to change me, to transform me. It is through your transformation that you will know God is with you, and that you will prove God exists and is embodied by the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. It is the will of the Father in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody shout to your God. The advantage is yours. The time is yours. As we step into 2026, it will be a year unlike any other. The perspective will change. Even the economy will begin to take a turn. God will strengthen his nation, but this is the call. See, fire wouldn't have come down if Elijah hadn't taken his stance. See, the three Hebrew boys would never have walked out and became honored and favored in the kingdom of God had they not stepped into the furnace. See, you have to stand and say, God is here, and I am proving the presence of the Lord. It is my commission to bear witness that God is with me. In that we will bless where we are, we will bless where we've been, we will bless where we're going, we will bless where we came out of. And the Lord will turn your heart from your dissatisfaction to satisfaction. See, the exodus of Egypt wasn't what the people really wanted. What they wanted was God to become their slave, to be subservient to their whims. God said, I'll show you my wonders, but I am God in the midst of you. That's what God is saying today. Father, be God in the midst of your people. God in the midst of you, no matter how young or how old you are, no matter how rich or how poor, no matter how weak or strong you feel, it is not about what you have, it is in whom you believe. Where you're going to go, what you're going to do, what you're going to say, Jesus is here. He's with me to stay. Ever present in every way, Jesus is his name. God, we give you praise. Over this body, I prophesy the presence and the glory of God, that looming sense of fear and not enough and needing a rescue and in trouble, vanish away. May the kingdom of God come. God's will be done. What is that? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. We pull upon the heavens of God, kingdom of God. Be made known in your earth and be glorified in Jesus' name. Everyone in this house and everyone under, everyone within the sound of my voice right here, right now. Your commission is to prove the presence and existence of God through who Christ in you is. Your faith to walk through trying times you couldn't imagine. You couldn't imagine yourself being joyful there, and yet you are. You couldn't imagine that this time could be an exciting time, but it is. You couldn't imagine before that you would have looked at a day like today when you're being challenged and you're excited about it because you know that challenge was designed specifically for you by God. It is your commission to walk in it with the proof and the witness that God is with you. Don't try to get out God's perfect design. Don't try to get away from God's perfect order. Don't try to run away from God's perfect time. The Lord has designed this time of the call on your faith, tailored just for you. Get excited about it. Shout about it. Celebrate. Celebrate the trying of your times. Throw a party, a celebration. Rejoice. The year of Jubilee has come. The order of God delivering you from all your debt of contradiction, of fear, of sin, of doubt, of unbelief, of uncertainty. Your debt is paid. You are free in Jesus' name. And whom the Son has made free is liberated at all times, in every place, in all things indeed. This is the hour of the Lord, of our God and of his Christ. These are the days of profound blessings from our God in Jesus' identity, we pray. Everybody shouted in the house. What a great season. What an hour of rejoicing. What a moment of praise. What a season to say, the Lord is with me today. He stands with me in joy and peace and wisdom and promise and power. He is exalted in this place. The word says, exalt his name together. Let us glorify him. And so we do. Andrew, you've grown in the Lord. You've grown in your perceived idea of what reality is. And the point to which you have grown will only be challenged by the growth that is yet to come. This is the greatest season of your life. Give the Lord praise. Give God a shout in the house. This is the hour and the order of the Lord. Lene, your commitment to put yourself in a place where you are committed to your faith will open up doors you couldn't even imagine. The joy, the fulfillment, the days of laughter and sunshine and excitement and traveling and speaking the word of the Lord. You are commissioned to prophesy through what the Lord speaks through your mouth because of His Spirit that dwells in you. Should you continue, you should never stop. Should you believe that it has purpose more than you could imagine, by the word that come from your mouth, know as God has said, I am the Lord who is ever present with you. This wasn't your decision. It was mine. But it is your faith that I use to move you to do what I have called you to do. It is the beginning of great times, great seasons, great doors, great opportunities. Be glad and rejoice. Take your faith as a staff, as was in the Son, hand Son of God, the staff of righteousness. Take in your hand the staff that was in Moses' hand, my son. And hold that staff out and declare, every sea will part. God will make provision. I don't have to know where or when or how many. I just know that it is more than enough and it is God with me. And what is this staff? It is your faith that God is with you. And He holds your hand, and He is the staff of righteousness with you and within you. This is a season ordained, ordered, and decreed by God Himself. This is the greatest season of your life. Chosen, saved, born of the Spirit, and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. That's who you are. This is the day of the Lord, and God has invited you into this season. You'll walk into the door and God will be glorified through who He is in you. Give God praise today. What a great hour. The choosing of the Lord. The hour of opportunity. Opportunity. Father, we bless you, mighty God of heaven and earth. Over this body, I decree and declare the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. This is a time like unlike any other. This is the hour of the Lord. Give God praise.